This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have a truly, truly fascinating episode today where we bring on a real anthropologist, Dr. Jack Hunter, and we have a book called Engaging the Anomalous, Collected Essays in Anthropology, the Paranormal, Mediumship, and Extraordinary Experience. And we're going to learn, I guess, more of a scientific approach to a lot of strange things that are going on in our world. And I'll give you an example here. The blurb we got from the publisher, Robbie Graham, of course, he edited UFOs, Reframing the Debate. It says, Trends in Anthropology's Engagement with the Paranormal. The Anthropology and Neuroscience of Spirit Possession. I want to talk more about that. The History of Spiritualism and the Phenomena of Physical Mediumship. The overlaps between mediumistic practices and other mind-body phenomena. Fascinating. Our guest co-host again is Gogs Mackay. How you doing, Gogs?
Not too bad, Gene. Not too bad. The sun has been shining here, which is quite rare, and it's felt like Phoenix today, honestly. But a nice change. Tonight's topic is right up my street, because along with UFOs, I love the idea of spirits, good and bad, communication with them, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know exactly what I believe about that, you know, use of Ouija boards, but I certainly do like the fact that there are some, very few, academic bodies who take parapsychology, you know, seriously, but they're very... What am I trying to say? They're very far between. Few and far between, that's it.
Now, to remind our listeners, and Dr. Hunter will hear this, last week we had another fascinating discussion with Brent Rains, where he talked about possibly making contact with the late John Keel.
Through a ghost box, yeah.
So, Dr. Hunter, now we got you on here. We're going to put you in the thick of it.
Yep.
You've worked with a ghost box at all?
I've never worked with a ghost box, no, but I have heard about them.
Do you know who John Keel was?
I know who John Keel was, yeah, of course.
Okay, so let me ask you a question here then, and then we'll get more into what's in the book. Have you encountered cases where something like this can be done, where somebody that we know can be contacted from beyond the grave, and it appears to be a genuine phenomenon?
Well, I've never spoken with anyone that I know through a medium, but I have spoken to several different kinds of spirits through mediums. So we can put them on a kind of, on the same kind of playing field, and I would say that it's possible. But yeah, be interested to hear more about it.
You certainly hear of people going to see mediums, and they're very careful to make sure that maybe they're anonymous. There's no history or information given about the person and stuff. And I know about cold reading and stuff, but you just hear occasional cases where they seem to latch on to just incredibly obscure information, private information. And just for my own satisfaction, one day I'd love to go and see, renowned medium, just to see if they do what the hit rate's like for them.
Yeah, that's it.
Doris, whatever her name was. What was her name? Do you remember?
Doris Stokes.
Yes, that's her, yeah. Long gone now, is she?
Yeah, she is.
I want to ask you here, how does an anthropologist get into this, or were you involved or interested in the paranormal before you began your academic studies?
Yeah, I've always been interested in the paranormal, really, going right back to when I was really young. I used to be fascinated by like vampires and all of those kinds of things. I used to read books when I was young about UFOs and all those kind of Colin Wilson books about great unsolved mysteries and things like that. So I was always interested. And then I started to see parallels between religion and the paranormal. So both religion and the paranormal seem to be dealing with, you know, invisible spirits and miraculous events. So I gradually became more and more interested in religious studies at school. And then when I got to university, or when it came to deciding what I was going to study at university, anthropology seemed like the obvious choice because it gave the opportunity to explore religious phenomena and paranormal phenomena from an academic perspective.
Jack, can I ask how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 32. Yeah, 32.
You're a young
guy. I'm 31.
Okay, it's okay. I was going to ask if you had heard of a certain magazine that I brought up last week, but you're probably too young. I'm 44, so and it was young when it came out. Anyway, but just because you're in the UK, I was going to ask. And it's part of the reason why I became interested in many paranormal topics. It was one of those magazines that would come out every a collection come out weekly, and you'd build up a collection of them, you know, over, you know, 6 months or so. And it was called The Unexplained. Have you ever heard of it?
I do know of it, yeah. I used to have a few copies of it.
Did you have the one with the free record of the supposed kind of EVP, one of the Flexi discs?
Wow, no, I didn't.
You mentioned early on, Dr. Hunter, that you were reading about UFOs. Of course, this book seems decidedly different than anything related to UFOs. Or am I missing something?
Well, I mean, the book doesn't deal with UFOs specifically, but it does deal with entity encounters is how I would term it. So it's about how we interact with spirits and different kinds of entities. And actually, I think there's a lot of overlap between the kind of the UFO experience and the mediumship experience. And there's different kinds of ways that we engage with these other kinds of intelligences. So even though it doesn't touch on UFOs specifically, I think it would be of use to people who are interested in UFOs to get that kind of extra perspective on it, really.
Abductions, out-of-body experiences, sleep paralysis, near-death experiences, there's huge overlap in all these kind of things. Yeah, and that's why I refuse to kind of see ufology and studies of ghosts or whatever as kind of separate things. I think they're all connected somehow at some kind of source, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And then coming back to John Keel, of course, that was his kind of angle on things as well, wasn't it?
Well, we also hear quite a bit about a unified field theory, and this is something that one of our other guest co-hosts, Michael Allen, has talked about and written about in our forums about this relationship. And then another person that you might have heard of, a guy named Miguel, who goes by the name of Red Pill Junkie, and he wrote a really excellent article for our newsletter talking about the relationship between near-death experiences and abductions.
Yeah.
So, of course, the perception, Dr. Hunter, the surface perception, and we all know that surface perceptions don't always come to be, the surface perception is that abductions are encounters with alien beings, beings from other planets, star systems, etc. But when we start getting into a connection with near-death experiences, where is that taking us?
That's a good question. The way I seem to move in towards thinking about these things is that, like I was saying before, it's all about how we communicate with different kinds of intelligences. So in near-death experiences, it appears as though people are communicating with their deceased loved ones. Of course, we can't be 100% sure that they are actually their loved ones, but it's, you know, that's what they report. And then in UFO abductions, alien abductions, they're communicating with these supposedly extraterrestrial intelligences. And again, we can't be 100% certain that they are actually extraterrestrial intelligences. And then people like, John Keel and others suggested that maybe the UFO noughts were like, what do they call them? Like ultra-terrestrials. That their intelligences or minds or different modes of being that have always existed on the Earth. So I think we're dealing with a similar kind of thing, and it's very difficult to, when you start to really think about it, it's very difficult to draw a neat line between them.
You'll get used to it soon, Dr. Hunter, but every 8 to 10 to 12 minutes, we have to do a break, take a piece of business, and then we'll be back. And we have a lot of fascinating things to talk about, Dr. Jack Hunter. is here. Our guest co-host is Gogs Mackay. You're in
the Parapsychological Cast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Were you born before the year 1956? If so, did you know you could be collecting between $575 and $2,200 in tax-free income right now? All thanks to the FHA. Or what about this? Did you know 54 U.S. congressmen have used a special tax-free account to earn up to 35 times more on their money? It's true, and you can do it too. These are just two of the secrets revealed inside a stunning new book from the Palm Beach Research Group and Ted Benna, the man behind the 401k. You'll discover the 18 best cash cows that can help you earn up to an extra $6,800 a month. If you're at or near retirement, this book is a must read. Today you can get your very own free copy of Ted Benna's new book. Shipping and handling charges apply.
Get your copy of Ted Benna's book when you text Benna to 79000. Text BENNA to 79000. Text Benna to 79000 now.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Over the last 4 years, three of the biggest online precious metal dealers have gone bankrupt and their owners put in prison due to theft and fraud. Having previously purchased precious metals, can you be sure you purchased the right product? Did you receive proper advice? Or were you stung by one of these companies? Miles Franklin has been in business for 29 years without receiving any material customer or regulatory complaints ever. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice, bar none. Call us at 866-485-4346 and let us review your portfolio at no commitment whatsoever. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Get the peace of mind you deserve in working with a precious metals company with a reputation like Miles Franklin. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Precious Metals, the name you can trust.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
The Parapsychological Cast. Maybe we'll have a second show like that. I don't know. I think we've done so much with UFOs. Dr. Jack Hunter is with us, and he's got this fascinating book, Engaging the Anomalous, which is a bunch of essays. And it's not a big book. It's like 235, 250 pages, whatever it is. It's a quick read. It's not super small type. It's a quick read. I think you'll enjoy it. A lot of different viewpoints to explore. We're going into here the experience involving apparent space aliens and the near-death experiences and stuff like that. So when someone thinks, Dr. Hunter, that they are in touch with the Zeta Reticulans or whatever they are,
yeah,
is that something they believe or perceive or something these entities are telling them? What's going on?
That's a good question as well. When we look at the paranormal from an anthropological perspective, we start to notice a few different things. The first thing that we start to notice is that there are common features of paranormal experiences all over the world. So it doesn't matter where you interview people. You talk to someone in China, you talk to someone in America, and you talk to someone in the middle of Wales. They'll talk about similar kinds of things. So they might talk about like luminous entities, or in near-death experiences, you hear about the tunnel and all those kinds of things. There seem to be common core features. And then the other thing that you notice when you start to look at it from an anthropological perspective is that culture and belief also seem to have some kind of an influence. So we seem to be dealing with something that kind of changes the way it presents itself to us according to our own beliefs and expectations. So when you ask a question like that, there is no simple answer. There's no simple way of determining whether it is something that is 100% independent and objective, or whether it is something that is influenced and molded by our own beliefs and expectations. So actually, I think the truth of the matter is that we're dealing with something that's in between, out there and in here, if that makes any sense.
So Jack, I imagine you're aware of Dr. Rick Strassman and his studies involving dimethyltryptamine, DMT.
Yeah.
Have you looked much into this whole relationship between DMT, this naturally occurring substance, which is in our bodies and in plants in very small quantities? But I've heard that sometimes in extreme events such as a near-death experience or out-of-body experience, maybe sometimes the pineal gland or whatever can produce more of it. And it's, in a way, some of these experiences may be a mini kind of trip.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a really interesting idea. My colleague, Dr. David Luke, is really the guy to talk to about DMT research. So I advise you try and get him on the show at some point to talk about it, because that's his kind of main area. But I certainly think it's interesting to consider that there might be underlying kind of neurochemical and neurophysiological changes that enable us to make contact with these other kinds of minds.
I suppose there's two ways to look at it. Some people, and the scientific person may just say, well, it's just an experience of the drug, that's it, of being under influence. Whereas some others may think that the chemical unlocks the experience. So there is something out with, the chemical and the physical. Is there anywhere? Who's the name of that researcher? Is it Professor Susan Greenwood or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, does she... Am I right in thinking she looks at these kind of things in neuroscience?
Yeah, well, her main interest was in the near-death experience and explaining the near-death experience in terms of hypoxia. So with the idea that we have near-death experiences when our brain is kind of starved of oxygen. But we've got the classic problem of distinguishing between causation and correlation.
Yeah.
So just because a lack of oxygen is correlated with the experience of meeting your dead loved ones or traveling down a tunnel of light doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's caused it. And like you were saying before, and actually this is kind of the way that I think about it as well, is that these specific neurophysiological states are a part of the overall process of making contact with these other worlds. So yeah, I think that they're like the necessary preconditions for having these kinds of experiences. Not to say that it's created by those preconditions, but that the preconditions kind of enable the experience.
I believe I read once that a mummy, obviously from Egypt, was tested by one of the world's foremost forensic toxicologists. I think it was a professor from Germany, a woman, and she found traces of cocaine and nicotine, and these substances, tobacco and the coca plant, only originate from the Americas, South America, and there supposedly wasn't any transatlantic trade going on back then. This is like 5,000 years old, but this seems to be kind of proof positive that it was. And I find it interesting that all around the world at various times, different cultures have, taken not necessarily drugs, but they've maybe gone through ritual drumming, chanting, sweat lodges or something. But people seem to always have had the need to try and commune with the higher and get into altered states.
Yeah, I mean, altered states of consciousness, like we were saying before, when we look at the cross-culturally at the paranormal, altered states of consciousness is something that comes up time and time again. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about altered states that are brought about through drug consumption or altered states that are brought about through hyperstimulation or sensory deprivation or whatever. What seems to be required is some kind of a shift in consciousness. I mean, you know, you do hear stories of people experiencing paranormal phenomena in perfectly, you know, normal waking consciousness, but much more frequently there is some kind of an altered state involved, even if it's not deliberately induced. So sometimes an altered state, you hear about the Oz effect and things like that.
Yes.
That's a lot like an altered state of consciousness that seems to be induced externally, or something is there's something out there that causes that state of consciousness.
The silence of the Oz effect, you know, no birds or no insects making noises, that fascinates me. What do you think may be the reason why the academic study of parapsychology has gone right out of favour, if it ever was fully in favour, but it seems to be pretty frowned upon? How do you feel if you're at some conference that has the conference attendees are not necessarily in the same field as you? How do you feel about introducing yourself to others and saying, I've studied this? Do you ever sort of think, oh, they're kind of looking down their nose at you?
Yeah, you have to kind of get used to that, I think, and then just kind of plow on with it. Because if you went to a conference and every time you were there, you felt ashamed of the research that you'd done, then you're never gonna make any progress.
Yeah,
so you have to make yourself almost immune to that kind of conduct, or you can just do what I do, which is, I'm crazy, so live with it. Dr. Jack Hunter, Gogs Mackay, I'm Gene Steinberg. More to come on, should be called, the greatest paranormal show on earth. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Residents along the northern Gulf Coast from New Orleans to the Florida Panhandle are under a tropical storm watch. Alberto, a subtropical storm, is churning north from just east of Cozumel, Mexico. Danielle Ellis is a reporter for WECP-TV in Panama City.
Daily conference calls between emergency operations, the National Weather Service, and the Hurricane Center will keep everyone alert if the storm develops. Governor Scott held a press conference letting the public know important information.
We've already moved some high water vehicles up to the panhandle from Fish and Wildlife. We're standing up with all the agencies to make sure everybody's prepared, to make sure that if we have this fair weather, that everybody's going to be taken care of.
The storm is expected to make landfall sometime on Memorial Day. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, Wyatt Cox, Classic Radio Theater. I used to watch people check into motels with pillows. I used to say, why? They've got pillows there. Aren't they good enough? Now I know they weren't good enough, because I have my pillow, and I take mine with me everywhere I go, anytime I'm spending a night. Why? It stays cool all night. You don't have to wake up in the middle of the night, flip the cool side of the pillow. Keeps its shape all night long. 60-day money-back guarantee. You don't like it, send it back. A 10-year warranty. Have you got a pillow that comes with a 10-year warranty? Nope. And you can put a My Pillow in the washer, dryer. It's like new again. Try doing that with your dollar store pillow. You end up with a washer or dryer full of feathers. And it's made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You get 2 MyPillow premium pillows, 2 Go Anywhere pillows for half price. MyPillow.com. Use promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We'll have Jack do that maybe if he wants to lower himself. We've got Dr. Jack Hunter, and we're covering all sorts of connections with the paranormal. And the obvious first question hits me, talking about this theoretically real phenomena being in altered states of consciousness, which I did in some degree when I was much, 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 much younger. Dr. Hunter, have you ever had what we'd call a paranormal experience?
Yeah, I've had, I suppose I've had quite a few paranormal experiences of different kinds of varieties. Nothing particularly extravagant. I have seen a UFO, but I've never had like a full-on abduction experience or anything. One of the most interesting ones, while we're talking about altered states of consciousness, was the very first time that I ever took magic mushrooms, psilocybin mushrooms. I had an experience of what I took at the time to be fairies, which was a really important experience for me in my kind of development and my interest in all of these kinds of things. Oh, I should probably mention that these fairies were kind of like two-dimensional, which was an interesting feature.
You mean like seeing a comic book?
Well, they were in the grain of a chest of drawers that had a drawer hanging out of it, and they were kind of in a procession along the grain of the wood, and they kind of turned, however you can turn in two dimensions, they turned and looked at me, and they kind of clocked me, and then they carried on with their procession.
Surely these are the ones that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle must have seen.
Probably, yeah. You know, that experience obviously drove home the relationship between altered states of consciousness and paranormal experiences. Another connection between altered states and paranormal experiences I've had is during hypnagogic and hypnopompic state. So when you're kind of waking up and falling asleep. And at one time when I was kind of most heavily involved with my field work with the mediums at the Bristol Spirit Lodge, I had these weird hypnagogic experiences where I would wake up and see these kind of like green three-dimensional figures standing above my bed. One of them was like a floating green goat's head, which was particularly interesting. And then perhaps
was
my
it frightening?
It wasn't frightening. It was more intriguing.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my most extravagant experience was actually during one of the seances at the Bristol Spirit Lodge on a day when the medium wasn't able to attend for whatever reason. So they decided that they were going to do an open development sitting and kind of invite spirits to let themselves be known to anyone else who was in the room. So we all kind of went into a quiet relaxation. But they put some music on, they turned the red light up in the seance room, and we just kind of relaxed into it. And I thought this was a nice opportunity to meditate and, you know, enjoy myself a little bit. So I closed my eyes, I put my arms down on the side of the chair, and I just kind of relaxed. And then after a while, I started to feel tingling in my hands, and more so in my left hand. I'm right-handed, so the fact that it was happening in my left hand was you know, a bit odd to me. I started to feel this tingling, and then suddenly my hand started to move of its own accord, or it felt as though it was moving of its own accord anyway. And I felt myself kind of slipping backwards out through the back of my body, kind of like a mini out-of-body experience, really. And interestingly, the only other time that I've had that kind of sensation of slipping out my body was taking a hit of Salvia divinorum.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a very strange psychoactive plant. And, so there's, again, this link between different kinds of altered states of consciousness and then different kinds of paranormal experiences. Anyway, going back to the mediumship, at the height of my mini out-of-body experience, my hand was kind of going, my left hand was going wild and moving around in the room, and it really freaked me out, as you can probably imagine. So I snapped myself out of it, and I looked around the room, and basically the circle leader was, laughing at me, because, she knew what was going on. She had an inkling that these kinds of experiences happen when you start to begin developing mediumship. And I was shocked, but I decided that I had to kind of go with it and try again. So I went back into my meditation, and then the whole thing happened again much quicker this time. But it didn't progress to anything more than just my left hand moving around seemingly of its own accord. And then I kind of returned back to my normal consciousness. It did happen again another time, but yeah.
What I was going to bring up, when you were talking about having to get used to perhaps maybe the views of other academics when revealing what it is you're interested in. But I was thinking that even the kind of most strictest, most ardent, skeptical scientists of no interest of this kind of thing, it kind of makes me laugh, really, that, I guarantee that they've been to funerals or weddings and stuff like that, and they'll happily sit and listen to readings from the Bible and stuff, which I always say is the most paranormal book there is.
Yeah.
Is the Bible. And, the many scientists, eminent scientists, have no problem admitting that they have religious beliefs themselves. Mm. So I find it a bit kind of funny, a bit two-faced for them to look down their nose at the study of the weird and the wonderful, whilst at the same time admitting that they're a Christian or whatever. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a Christian or religious or whatever, but, religion is the paranormal, to a great degree.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely. There's a strange distinction. So religion is the paranormal, but it's kind of like, I like to think of it as the paranormal domesticated. So it's been stripped of its wildness, and it's been kind of squeezed into a kind of rigid framework.
It sounds like it's homogenized and pasteurized by a group of people to make it warm and fuzzy for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's another one. When people are in court and stuff like that, when you're in court and giving evidence, you can't just state hearsay, my friend says, da, 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 this. That's not evidence. And But at the same time, when you swear to give the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, you're swearing on a book that is purely faith-based. That's a bit weird as well. But, Jack, you were saying of the few paranormal experiences you've had, you did say you may have had a UFO sighting. Can you tell us a bit more about that? Because we love UFOs in the podcast.
Well, it was funny because it was this one night when me and my friend were at home, and we were just kind of, you know, chilling out and relaxing. And then there was a power cut. And I thought to myself, this would be the perfect time to go out, to take the car out and drive up into the mountains, because there'd be no streetlights on anywhere.
Yeah.
It'll be perfectly pitch black. And, you know, we'll be able to see if there's anything, you know, anything weird going on, because we know there's no electricity.
No light pollution, yeah.
No light pollution. It was pitch darkness. So we got in the car and we drove up into the Berwyn Mountains, which are the mountains nearby to where we are here. And incidentally, there was supposedly a UFO crash in the Berwyn Mountains in the 1970s.
I think very famous case, yeah.
It's a very famous case, yeah.
Yeah.
I grew up just at the bottom of the mountains there, so it's kind of my local area. So we drove up to the mountains and then we parked in a lay-by and we got out of the car and just had a look around, and we were looking down into the valley below and we saw like a woodland. It was all pitch dark there. And a light started to come out of it. So we could see that none of the house lights were on anywhere, that we could see down to the village that the street lights were still off. But then there was this bright light in the woods, and it seemed to be moving towards us. So we just kind of ran away. We didn't want to get involved in it. But that was my kind of what I think possibly was a UFO experience, or someone with a torch.
We've got more to come with Dr. Jack Hunter and Gene and Goggs. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Homemakers, groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, just looking at the ratio here, you're in your early 30s now, Dr. Hunter. I take it that you were in your 20s and 30s when all this was going on. It wasn't anything from your teen years or younger.
Not really, no, yeah. It's more my 20s, yeah.
Okay, because you're about the same age group as my son. So all you young whippersnappers getting involved in this, I wanted to ask you something here in general. Since you are a young whippersnapper, and Goggs is a less young whippersnapper, and I'm aging old and all that stuff, do you see more or less interest in the paranormal these days among younger people? Because when you go to conventions, especially UFO conventions, they have old fossils like me mostly in attendance.
That's interesting, yeah. My engagement with paranormal research has been predominantly academic, so in universities and different kinds of places like that. And I have noticed amongst younger scholars a more kind of an openness to investigating these kinds of things. I don't know particularly why that is. Maybe it's because the kind of old guard of the skeptics are kind of starting to die away.
Gene, younger people consume their interest in the paranormal a different way. It's all done through the internet and stuff like that. So just because they maybe don't turn up to conferences and buy paperbacks or whatever, but maybe they're out there, but they're just watching YouTube and, you know, going to websites. So it's different now. So it may look like there's no young blood coming in, but maybe there is, but it's just in different places and ways.
Different context, yeah.
Yes.
I definitely think on the internet that there is a big paranormal scene. But, I mean, we're talking about something that's really big and really diverse and includes everything from, like, you know, the more kind of, like, new age kind of stuff right the way through to...
Well, in the last 15 years, how many new, like, ghost hunting shows and UFO shows? There's, you know, as far as I can see, there's been an almost explosion. Like in the 90s, say, when it was mostly terrestrial TV or if you had satellite, there'd be the odd UFO series or something, but not many. But these days, you can't move for ghost and UFO shows on digital TV and stuff.
I mean, it's something that is perennially fascinating to people, I think. People are interested in it. And it's a really, actually, I use the paranormal a lot in my teaching because I find that everyone has an opinion on it. Doesn't matter whether you believe in it or if you're an ardent skeptic or whatever, everyone has an opinion. Yeah. So it's a really good icebreaker in classrooms to start off a conversation about the paranormal. And you'll get everyone chipping in with their, you know, their two pence about what paranormal is and whether it's real or not.
Maybe a lot of people have a built-in interest in the subject,
But they are, shall we say, reluctant to admit that interest. Although nowadays, what I see more is when I explain to people I do a show like this, because I do a second show, the Tech Night Owl Live, which is strictly consumer electronics and such, I don't see people saying, oh, this guy is weird. I mean, they can say that anyway, but not in connection with this.
Yeah.
So maybe we are kind of reaching a different audience we haven't sensed.
Yeah, we could well be. And another aspect that plays into it is, you know, people don't talk about it unless the subject comes up. You know, it's a big issue. Like, if no one talks about it, then no one's going to talk about it. But if you have someone like a teacher or a lecturer or whatever who's willing to open up that conversation and get the ball rolling, that's when people start to come out and talk about their own experiences and their own beliefs and feelings and ideas.
If all three of us were to just pick 10 friends or even distant family members at random and just say, oh, have you ever had a really weird thing happen to you, whatever, and the number of people will actually open up and have some kind of strange experience that they never usually talk about or anything because no one asks them. But it's amazing how many people out there that you know and you don't know that they've had a weird experience.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I mean, I got a good example with my my auntie, who, when I started to research mediumship and I was talking about the paranormal a lot more, I'd never really talked about it with her before. But she was someone who had been involved with computers for a long time, and she's a very rational and a logical person. And she told me these two amazing kind of like ghost stories or ghost experiences that she'd had. One where she saw at a place where she used to work a mug levitating and turning upside down and landing on a table. And the second story she told me was about when her husband died, and she had a kind of like a vision or an apparition of him after his funeral kind of coming to say goodbye to her.
Goodbye, yeah.
Which is, you know, a very, very common experience, really.
Yeah, there's a term for that. There's a certain term for these last visitation things. I can't remember off by. And just along the same vein, like my mother is from the largest of the Western Isles in Scotland, the Outer Hebrides, a place called Lewis. That side of my family are very, very religious, Free Church of Scotland, you know, no shop TV on a Sunday kind of thing. You know, everyone says grace at the table, church twice a week and stuff. Great people, but, you know, very religious. But I couldn't believe that when I did start asking these things, I actually found out my own grandfather had two really strange paranormal experiences. And he is the last person on earth I would have ever thought. One involved him being overtaken by a car. This is on a country road, so there's not much traffic anyway. Overtaken by a car, which then disappeared, and a ghost car. And apparently, 1 week later, there was a crash at that point, which is really strange. And then another time is he was down in what they call the Macher there, which is basically like a kind of a Lynx area, you know, not developed, near the sea, that kind of hard grass and stuff you get near beaches and dunes. And somebody watched a full, like, 19th century funeral procession. There's no roads there or anything, but there was a ghost horse-drawn carriage, coffin, mourners and all that going towards this now disused cemetery. Like, there's a newer one now. You know, there's absolutely no chance that this was people recreating something or whatever. And this was during the day as well. And this is from extremely sober people who do not drink, you know, do not take drugs, don't even smoke, do not swear. And, you know, if I had not asked, it would never have been offered to me, that information. So I always wonder about all the people I haven't asked yet. There must be a wealth of really interesting stories out there from people
we
know.
There is. Yeah, there definitely is. And people just don't like to talk about it because of the stigma that's attached to it. People don't want to be called crazy. They don't want to.
Yeah.
They don't want people to think, you know, that they're weak-minded or anything like that. So,
yeah. Funny thing is, whenever I bring up my one kind of apparition sighting. There was two of us saw it. So I always say I don't know if it's the spirit of a dead person, but we saw this and it went round a corner and disappeared. But funnily enough, I find that if you're quite confident in your telling of it, whether people believe it or not, nobody has a problem with it. But I suppose if you come across as being really timid about even mentioning this or something, maybe people will think you're a bit kooky because they sense that you're not very sure about it yourself. Whereas if you're saying, well, I saw this, I don't know if it's paranormal or not, but this happened, da-da-da. But I've never had a negative reaction thus far.
No, that's it, yeah. That comes back to what we were saying about presenting at academic conferences and things. You have to be willing to present these aspects of your own experience, that they're a fundamental part of our understanding of ourselves and of our relationship to the rest of the world. And if we can't talk about the experiences that we have in life, then, you know, something's gone seriously wrong somewhere.
I think the human mind and society in general has got the most amazing capacity for ignoring things which should be huge questions at the forefront of the minds. Really, I cannot believe that it should be on the 6 o'clock news every single night. Running the story said, how is it these 1,000 ton blocks were quarried and moved at Baalbek in Lebanon? You know, it's just not talked about, but you couldn't move these things with today's cranes and stuff. And you think if this was supposed to have been done a couple of thousand years ago, you know, it's insane, like, difficult mysteries. And most people haven't even heard of them. Without a doubt, if it might not be active censorship, but it's certainly passive censorship. You know, if you've read Michael Cremo's Forbidden Archaeology, if even 1% of what he writes in there is true, it's just stunning for what it does to a historical timeline.
We'll have more of that in our next segment with Jack, Gene, Goggs. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.